This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kelly McAllister, who's our resident political analyst. Boy, there's no shortage of topics each and every week. Lenny, good morning.
Good morning, kind sir. And you're right, there never is.
I hope you had a good weekend.
Well, I was looking forward to Liberation Day coming up this week. So, you know, the excitement.
Did you happen to watch any of the Pirates games over the weekend?
I heard the commiseration. I heard that we are already developing a tendency to give up late leads and blow games at the end of games. So that is a trend that needs to end unless if we want to have a very long 2025 baseball season.
We'll see where it goes. The Yankees had 9 home runs in one game, and they'll be here Friday.
They were using wiffle bats, apparently.
Did you see that? Those bats?
Yes.
I didn't know they were legal.
I'm wondering how much longer they're going to be legal. It's funny because during commercial breaks, during my shows on Saturday and Sunday, we were talking about what's the difference between a modified bat like that and a corked bat. Everybody remembers the whole corked bat episodes and putting the little rubber balls inside of them and hauling them out. And, you know, there was a time where you couldn't put too much pine tar on your bat. You couldn't shave down the handle too much because then the handle was too skinny. And now you're walking up there with that.
And they also still check pitchers' gloves when they come off the mound. But those, well, we'll see. Anyway, third term for Donald Trump. It's in the works, apparently.
We're trying to figure out a way to how to make that happen. Now, of course, there are two constitutional amendments that seem to stop that. But just the fact that there's already thoughts 90 days in when there are military concerns around the world and there's legal concerns nationally and there's economic concerns with a tariff war, that this is hitting the headlines, that the Trump administration's already trying to figure out a way to get a third term. To me, it's more indicative of the focus of the administration, if it's internal or external towards the American people. And these are the non-spoken things that people need to understand. Now, obviously, it's spoken because it's in the news and things were said. But the nonverbal communication of, okay, I understand there's a lot of angst with these tariffs. We see the stock market going all over the place. The word recession has now been said aloud multiple times by the Commerce Secretary and the President, saying we can't guarantee there won't be a recession. And yet at the same exact time we're talking about this, this is a disconnect as far as I'm concerned in regards to what the American people want. And even more so, Larry, what the American people voted for in November. This is not what they voted for when they voted for Donald Trump to be the 47th president. They voted for inflation to go down. That hasn't really happened. And they voted for illegal immigration to stem. That has happened. But that's one out of 6 or 7 things they were hoping to get out of a second Trump term.
What about, and you're right, I mean, it's 3 years plus down the road, and there are much more pressing issues in this moment. Many of them affect people on a daily basis. 60 Minutes did a story about the Voice of America going away, at least temporarily, and what that would mean and some other things. But outside of that, in the moment, what do you think is the most important?
The economy. The number one thing is consumer confidence is going down. The stock market's going all over the place. The president said over the weekend, I couldn't care less if car prices go up. And that's after a Wall Street Journal report came out saying that he went to car makers and said, you better not raise prices when these tariffs hit. Now he was kind of getting ahead of that story and saying, look, if the prices go up, so be it. That's just the price we have to pay. And it's interesting. I talked about this as well this weekend. You know, there's this sense that there needs to be economic patriotism. We're going to have to bite the bullet a little bit because that's how the industries are going to come back to the United States. But if it's only the American consumer that's doing this economic patriotism, and it's not the businesses that are going to take a haircut as well, and it's not the stakeholders and the stockholders that are going to also take a haircut when it comes to this, then all you're doing is squeezing people that are living paycheck to paycheck. And again, this is not what they voted for in November. And you already have special elections coming up this week. You have the midterms coming up next year. There's going to be an electoral retribution for this if this doesn't work out.
Speaking of special elections in Wisconsin, how do you feel about Elon Musk literally offering millions of dollars for people to vote his way?
That's the type of thing that can get the Citizens United case from 2010, where all the true flood of money really started coming into politics. Those are the type of things that would make a court say, and this is why we have to limit campaign contributions, because the American democracy is not to be purchased. Now, I will say cynically, there are also some people that are saying this is a naturalized citizen that doesn't understand how our electoral politics should work. Here he is coming in, the richest man in the world, who's a citizen of three different countries, now coming in and saying he can buy votes. Now, we don't like when big wigs, quote unquote, buy votes by way of 501c3s and 501c4s. We're already uncomfortable with that, whether it's on the left or the right, the unions or, you know, big money in the Koch brothers. But to see it be this egregious, again, I would not be shocked if by the time we get to 2026, there's a blowback to this.
All right, over the weekend, United States Senators John Fetterman and Dave McCormick were supposed to be together in Pittsburgh. That didn't happen. Why? We're going to ask Senator Dave McCormick coming up next. News Radio KDK from the Goldberg Perskin White News Desk, Paul Rasmussen.
Norfolk Southern wants other companies to help pay that $600 million class action settlement for the train derailment in East Palestine. We'll have the latest on that at 8:30 on the Voice of Pittsburgh News Radio KDKA.
Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister on this Monday, and we are also joined by United States Senator Dave McCormick. Senator, good morning.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
You were front page news yesterday on the Sunday paper in the press, along with Senator Fetterman. You had plans to be together, and that did not happen. Many people are asking why.
You know, first of all, Senator Fetterman and I have gotten off to a great start in terms of a relationship working together. And, you know, Dean and I, my wife, had launched a book, which is coming out tomorrow, Who Believed in You? And in the middle of that book tour, Senator Fetterman had agreed to do an event with us. And for a whole series of reasons, including getting the right location and honestly, some worries about the security of our folks that would join us there because of possible protesters, we decided to postpone it. So we're going to do it. We're going to just do it a little bit further down the road.
Senator, good morning. This is Lenny McAllister. I was sitting here thinking about how this ended up being postponed, but it also seems as though you all are trying to take a chip away at the iciness of politics approach versus a, hey, we'll try this, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, what advice would you give to others that are trying to take the same approach that you are, which is, okay, look, at some point, we got to take an ice pick to this, and we got to chip away at the iciness that we have between, you know, ourselves as Americans. What advice would you have based on the example that the other senator and you were trying to put together for the Commonwealth?
Well, you know, the way it started with he and I is I went to the Tree of Life 5-year memorial ceremony, I guess 18 months ago or something like that. And he was standing, it's the first time I had met him, and it looked like, you know, I think I had announced I was running at that point. And he said, you know, Mr. McCormick, it's very, very nice to meet you. He said, you know, the campaign is, you know, it'll get a little spicy, I'm sure, but it's nothing personal. And I thought that's interesting. And, you know, it got a little spicy and it was nothing personal. And he and I sat down after And we just agreed. We just had a very honest conversation that there's a lot of things we disagree on. But, boy, there's a lot we do agree on. And if we could find ways to work together, it would be to the benefit of the people of Pennsylvania. So, you know, he's strong on Israel. He's strong on anti-Semitism. I've been a strong voice on those things. But, you know, just in the last, you know, 3 months, he's co-sponsored a fentanyl bill with me to try to bring together a joint task force to take on this terrible scourge in Pennsylvania. I've co-sponsored legislation for mushroom farmers in Chester County that he was leading. I've joined him in a bill that he sponsored on burial benefits for the families of veterans. And, you know, every way that we can help the people of Pennsylvania together, I think is a win for everybody. And that's the way we've approached it. And I think the most important thing is trust. You know, he trusts that I'm not going to try to screw him or stick it to him, and that we're going to try to find ways to work together. I certainly trust him, and that's a good start for any relationship.
We're with United States Senator Dave McCormick. Senator, you were quoted in the Post-Gazette saying, "I want to support the president's goals and initiatives, but I also want to make sure that if it's hurting Pennsylvanians, I know about it and can take corrective action." As you know, there's been a lot of job loss associated with the executive orders, but yet you're our most direct link to the federal government. So what are you working on to keep Pennsylvanians safe?
Well, you know, first of all, you start with what's going on. And I think the starting point is we're on a fiscal situation, our spending situation is unsustainable. Unfortunately, we have $34 trillion of debt. We spend about $1 trillion a year on interest payments. Our annual deficit's $2 trillion. So we spend about $6 trillion and we get about $4 trillion in taxes. So, you know, none of us could run our house like this for more than a year or two and be underwater. And that's what we're doing to our kids. So, you know, this is a situation that got worse under President Biden. We added about $5 trillion of new spending, and we got to get it under control. And that's the sad reality. And the DOGE process is meant to bring transparency and focus to the areas where there's waste. But the responsibility for making those actual cost reductions is in the hands of the cabinet secretaries that work for President Trump. And so I'm in support of the overall effort. But when you have a big effort like that and you're trying to drive big change, sometimes you make mistakes. And so you got to have a process that actually fixes the mistakes, too. So a good example of this is the Department of Agriculture, through the DOGE efforts, eliminated a number of folks that were experts in bird flu. And, you know, we're in the middle of a bird flu epidemic. That was bad. That was a dumb idea. So we got to hire those folks back, which the Department of Agriculture did, so we can deal with bird flu. There's another area that's of particular concern to many Pennsylvanians, which is NIH funding for our big universities and our hospital systems. And there's been a restriction put in place which caps the overhead expenses that the government will fund. And that has big implications for many of our employers in Pennsylvania. So I've gotten very involved with that and am in contact with Secretary Kennedy and trying to make sure that we don't do that in midstream for any of these big research grants, because it's very disruptive and it also may stop life-saving research. So I try to go point by point and try to look at the things that I think make sense, you know, in the overall scheme of things, but maybe bad for Pennsylvanians. And I try to be a voice that both supports the cost-cutting efforts, which I think is critical for our country, wasteful spending that's waste, fraud, and abuse that's happening across our government. The Government Accountability Office, which is an independent group, estimates about $500 billion of waste, fraud, and abuse. But at the same time, I'm very focused on what's happening in Pennsylvania and trying to make sure I'm a strong voice for not letting dumb things happen. I guess the one last thing I'll say is I think it's very important that as we unfortunately have to eliminate jobs in the federal government. We added 400,000 new jobs in the last 4 years in the federal government. We're going to have to eliminate a number of those jobs, not just the new ones, but across the government. I think it's critical that we treat the people that are leaving the federal government, sadly, with gratitude, with respect, with dignity. The large majority of them are patriots trying to serve their country. we need to downsize, and we should thank them as we help them transition on to the next thing.
Senator, one of the criticisms in this article is about where are our senators in terms of people trying to reach out to your office. Is both you and Senator Fetterman, what do you recommend?
Well, first of all, I think it's just fundamentally not accurate. So in my particular case, obviously we get thousands of letters and calls, and you know, it's a little overwhelming to start, but we're now in the point where we're responding to any request within a couple of days and responding to every piece of email. But in addition to that, I'm doing regular outreach where I'm engaging with voters. So last week I did a tele-town hall that had 14,000 people attend, where you just turn on the thing and questions would come in. That we'd ask people what the topic was, but they get on the phone and ask any question in front of 14,000 people. Every week, we do a Keystone Coffee in Washington, where Pennsylvanians who are in town stop by and we talk. Usually there's about 100 to 150 people. I've done dozens of visits across the Commonwealth. So it is a big Commonwealth, and there's a lot going on. So I can understand why some people feel like they're not having their questions answered. But I think if they engage in all the ways I just said, I think they're going to find that I'm really doing my best to try to answer the questions, but also reduce the anxiety where it's appropriate, because sometimes people are reacting to things that simply aren't true, like they're going to get their Social Security benefits cut or something like that, which is not the case. So that's the way I'm trying to handle it. And I think it's incumbent on me to be very proactive about constantly communicating because, as I said, it's a time of uncertainty.
And we'll look for your wife, Dina's book, Who Believed in You, which comes out tomorrow. Senator, as always, we appreciate your time and willingness to talk to us. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks, Larry. And that book is whobelievedinyou.com. And she and I wrote it during COVID about mentorship and the importance for building the next generation of leaders. So thanks for mentioning it.
All right, you got it. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
United States Senator Dave McCormick. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, powered by Bowser Genesis, let's get a quick update with Ellen Gamble.
All right, a couple of accidents on the roster, Larry. One in Clareton on Clareton to Roseburg Road at New England Road. Crews are just rolling up on the scene of that one. Crews still dealing with an earlier accident, this in White Oak on Lincoln Way at Jack's Run Road. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 8:35. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister in studio, our local political analyst who wears many hats. Good conversation with Senator Fetterman.
McCormick.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is, you know what, Larry, that's actually a good thing that you did that, because how often would you confuse a Republican and a Democrat in these political times? And if you're able to say that they're at least talking, that's different than what we usually have.
Which may surprise why so many people are upset that they're talking.
Well,
you would think they would champion the fact that this is a chance, as you put it, and I think that was a good way to phrase it, chip at the ice between the divisiveness of the parties and work for the people collectively to get more done for everybody.
Yeah, but Larry, we both know that there are so many people that have invested time, talent, and treasure in the tribalism of America. So the last thing they want are people that can actually break that whole barrier down. And so, yes, there are some people that feel betrayed by Fetterman that he's talking to McCormick. You heard that when Fetterman went to Mar-a-Lago as well. You're going to hear some people saying, McCormick is not really a Republican. How could you talk to Fetterman, who was known as being extremely far left when he was lieutenant governor and mayor of Braddock? So rather than people saying, okay, maybe they're trying to usher in something better for everybody, they'd much rather go back to their respective corners and have their blue corner and their red corner and duke it out. Unfortunately, maybe that will change. Maybe they are chipping away at that ice.
That said, of all the things that went on just this past weekend, what jumps out at you? The tariff talk?
Tariff talk. I mean, that's primarily it. And I brought this up on my show. I am one of those consumers that did indeed say, I'm going to go get car parts that I know I need now rather than wait 3 months when the tariff might be there. I literally went and bought a vehicle that I knew I was going to need this year and bought it now before the tariffs hit. And so when the president says, I couldn't care less if the car prices go up. I hear that as a consumer and I say, yeah, I didn't necessarily want to buy right now, but I made the right decision, because if that's the attitude and car makers are not going to adjust and they're only going to pass that cost off to me as a guy with two kids under 16, I can use that money for my family versus just paying it off on a tariff.
And then we're talking about average prices for a lot of vehicles going up substantially.
Yes.
And so there's another, you know, end of the month. Car dealers usually, you know, provide some additional saving opportunities because they want to make their month. So this past weekend would have been
the ideal time.
A lot of for a lot of people, if you were on the bubble or had plans to do it in the near term, do it now.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I'm curious about. Number one, how many Americans actually do that before April 2nd? Number two, three things. Number two, will these tariffs be postponed again? We've already seen that since January. There's always a chance we walk up to the line and he postpones it, even though the saber rattling sounds a little different this time. And number three, what do car makers do? Because they don't have to pass off that savings or that cost to the consumer. They could very easily say, you know, creatively, we're going to eat this tariff cost as a business for 4 months. We're going to try to get more market share. As a result of doing that, then we'll pass on the cost to the consumer. There are ways for the car makers to deal with this to try to win more business. Now, that generally doesn't happen with tariffs, but I'd be curious to see if it does happen this time around.
And you're right. The president has used the tariffs as a bargaining tool. And in some cases, all right, well, we'll wait a minute. If you're, you know, we don't know what's being said behind the scenes.
No.
Between the countries.
And the flip side is he continues to expand who he wants to put tariffs on. And as a result, the markets and consumer confidence, that's going down. So let's say the tariffs don't come in, but the threat's constantly there. And the investment from on high slows down. Inflation stays up. The interest rate doesn't come down. Those two factors would have American consumer confidence continue to shrink, and that's going to still impact the economy one way or another. And the last thing we would need is maybe some continued increase of the unemployment rate and slowing down of job creation, especially with the DOGE cuts, which did not go into the last numbers. They'll start showing up this month, starting at this upcoming Friday.
Right.
If all those things come into play, we're talking about an economy that is at strong risk of slowing down to a point where it would really scare some folks.
Were you surprised that the Fed held interest rates, because they were trending down after they went way up over the previous 4 years?
True. I wasn't surprised. True that you're right. It was starting to go in the right direction. But once Trump came into office and you started seeing the moves that he was making between cutting federal jobs, which is still part of the economy, and the tariff talk with China, and people forget about the Chinese tariffs. We're constantly talking about our allies, but the Chinese tariffs, the second largest global economy, matters as well. Once you saw all that stuff coming into play, it was no surprise to me that once they saw that inflation was starting to creep back up and not continuing that trend, that they would just freeze the rates for now, hope that this passes over, and then continue to reduce the rates.
Coming up, I want to ask you about Greenland. The vice president was there.
And his lovely wife.
More on the Big K Morning Show next.
News Desk.
Drivers headed southbound towards Pittsburgh. A crossover will take place just past Ross Municipal Drive. One lane of traffic in each direction will use the northbound lanes of the road, and then traffic will cross back over to normal lanes shortly after driving over the bridge.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's the fun on McKnight Road.
Nightmare Road.
Everybody, please be safe. I mean, if you've grown up in Western Pennsylvania, you know that the spring flower is a construction cone. You're familiar with this. Just be safe.
They're blooming.
I'm not looking at that, but I'll tell you, I have had more people ask me to have a third term.
That's Donald Trump on Air Force One after being asked by a reporter if he wants a third term in office.
As he points out, we got a long way to go and there are more pressing issues.
Very true, and we need to go in the opposite direction. We need everybody to have term limits, not just the president or not just the governor.
And there's also the 22nd Amendment that's in the way as well. In Miami,
the Marlins walk off the Pirates for a third time in this series.
Ouch. I was an eyewitness on television to all three at the end.
We may need to get you therapy.
Yeah. There are three things you got to learn in baseball. You got to learn how to hit, you got to learn how to throw, four things. You got to learn how to catch, and you got to learn how to win. And the Pirates don't know how to win.
Mm-hmm. That said, they'll be in Tampa Bay, everybody, this week before coming home to face those cheating Yankees with the giant jumbo bats. They look like fungo bats.
They do look fungo bats, softball bats. Either way, those are I'm just waiting for them to be outlawed in about a year.
We'll see. All right, Paul, thank you. Final word with Lenny McAllister. Well, we're getting ready to close out March. A new month starts tomorrow. Lenny McAllister, some final thoughts today.
We got 48 hours until Liberation Day, or so-called Liberation Day. It's going to be very interesting to see what rhetoric comes out of the administration when it comes to these tariffs, because it's a lot of tough talk, but we've seen them walk them back previously so far this year. If they walk this back, then maybe the markets look at this and say, you know what, Trump's going to continue to do this for the year. Maybe the markets don't react the way they've been reacting every time a deadline comes up and they say, okay, this is just baked into the cake. This is the calculus. We won't react as much and you won't see the wild swings in the market. So this week, over the next couple of days, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with the tariffs and how Wall Street responds.
Those are the deadlines.
Yes.
That said, all four number one seeds in March Madness are part of the final four. So who do you like? Because it's a week from tonight for the championship. Who's going to be there? Is it going to be Duke plays Houston, Florida plays Auburn? Who's playing for the national championship?
I think it's going to be Auburn and Houston. And Larry, let's just be honest. If you filled out a bracket and you showed somebody that all four number one seeds were going to the final four, they would laugh at you because they would say that never happens. And yet, here we are. It's only the second time it's happened in like 30 years, from what I understand.
That's correct. Lenny, always appreciate your input.
Thank you, Larry.
Have a great week.
You too. God bless you all out there.